Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Over two decades, U.S. and Western allies in Afghanistan invested in the nation's health system. Now, nearly a year after they left, Afghan maternal health care is in jeopardy.
During the Taliban rule in the 1990s, Afghanistan was a place where it was incredibly dangerous for women to give birth. And now what many of the doctors that are there fear is going back in time and losing all of the gains that were made over the past 20 years.
And what the latest earnings from big banks show about the strength of Wall Street and the American consumer. Plus, why the auction house Christie's is launching a venture capital arm just as many investors are fleeing tech. It's Monday, July 18th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that move the world today. Another batch of bank earnings out today. Goldman Sachs says its profit fell 47% in the second quarter. The bank said the highest inflation in decades, along with weak and volatile markets, caused corporate executives to delay taking their companies public or selling additional stock, cutting into Goldman's investment banking fees. Meanwhile, Bank of America also reported lower quarterly profit, but said consumer finances remain strong, with customers increasing spending while maintaining high deposit levels. Bank of America said it also benefited from higher interest rates, which allow banks to charge more on loans. Stocks initially rose on the news, but gave up their gains over the course of the day, with all three major indexes ending the day down a fraction of a percent. Former Trump strategist Steve Bannon went on trial today on charges of contempt for defying a subpoena from the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Bannon faces two charges of contempt of Congress for refusing to give testimony to the committee or to turn over papers. Each count carries a maximum sentence of a year in jail. Meanwhile, the Justice Department is adding prosecutors and resources to its investigation into the actions of former President Donald Trump's allies in trying to overturn the 2020 election. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The DOJ has already charged 850 people in connection with the January 6th violence, but our justice reporter Sadie Gurman says hearings from the House Select Committee have boosted interest in the role of Trump and his inner circle in the attack.
It is hard for prosecutors to ignore the testimony that is unfolding on the Hill, particularly some of the more stunning revelations that have come from a former White House aide, Cassidy Hutchinson. She testified for the first time that Trump knew many of the people at his rally were armed and instructed them to go to the Capitol anyway and wanted to join them. And this is something that prosecutors had heard for the first time as she was testifying last month. And our reporting showed that senior officials' view of the scope of their probe has expanded since some of these allegations have come to light.
The DOJ has said its investigation is not influenced by the hearings. It's not clear whether the investigation will result in charges for Trump or others. Dr. Anthony Fauci says he'll retire by the end of President Biden's term. The 81-year-old infectious disease expert steered the American response to the coronavirus pandemic over two presidential administrations, becoming one of the nation's most well-known public health leaders. Fauci recently recovered from COVID-19 after he was treated with an antiviral drug. Two of China's biggest cities are ordering residents to undergo mass COVID-19 tests, raising the possibility that fresh outbreaks could once again snarl the global economy. Authorities in the northeastern city of Tianjin ordered citywide tests on residents starting tonight after reporting two new cases earlier in the day. And Shanghai said it would mandate tests for many residents starting Tuesday. A springtime lockdown in Shanghai sent the city's economy plunging. Analysts say China's zero COVID policy is the most important factor in determining China's growth outlook. And we report exclusively that the Pentagon is reviewing a report on the U.S. military's withdrawal from Afghanistan, but has not yet decided whether to make public some of the highly classified document. That has stood in the way of a public accounting of the Biden administration's decision-making and execution of the U.S. departure last year. During the chaotic withdrawal, a suicide attack killed 13 U.S. troops and scores of Afghans outside Kabul airport, and some Afghans died clinging to the wings of American evacuation aircraft. Meanwhile, Afghan maternity hospitals are understaffed and overcrowded. We'll explore the ripple effects of the U.S. withdrawal on maternal health care after the break.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's been almost a year since the U.S. withdrew all its forces from Afghanistan. After 20 years of American military presence, a Western-backed Afghan government crumbled and the Taliban swept into power. Western countries have isolated the Taliban and frozen Afghanistan's foreign assets, in part due to its past treatment of girls and women. But now an economic crisis in Afghanistan is having a profound impact on the health of women and infants. The Wall Street Journal's Jessica Donati is our former Afghanistan bureau chief. She returned to Afghanistan recently, and she joins me now to share what she saw in maternity wards. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Let's start with one scene. You were in the neonatal intensive care unit in a maternity hospital in Kabul, and you were watching a doctor treat a premature baby with oxygen. What happened to that baby, and what did that tell you about the state of neonatal care in Afghanistan?
Malalai Maternity Hospital is the busiest maternity hospital in the country, and they see frequently 70, 80 births per day. They are understaffed in terms of beds. So when we were in the neonatal intensive care unit, some of the incubators were holding more than one baby. They were lying side by side because there was no space. And this particular baby, he was born early because his mother, like millions of other Afghans, was unable to get enough to eat because of the economic crisis, because of the impact of the withdrawal of foreign forces. And so as a result, the baby was born 9 weeks early. In a country like the US, being born 9 weeks early, most babies would survive. But in Afghanistan, because of the lack of equipment and medication and specialists, being born that early is a death sentence. And so when I spoke to the doctor to ask what would happen to this tiny, tiny baby, he said that within a few days, they expected the baby to die.
You mentioned that baby's mother was hungry. Let's go into that hunger. The UN says 20 million people in Afghanistan, about half the population, are facing acute hunger. Why has food grown so scarce?
There are multiple reasons linked to the departure of foreign forces. One of them, of course, is that the US and its Western allies are one of the main employers in the country. And so the departure of the West has left many people jobless. Additionally, the banking system is heavily sanctioned. Local importers of food are having trouble importing goods that they need. Prices are going up. There's inflation. You have the war in Ukraine, which itself is also driving up the price of food. And so all of these reasons are combining to create a huge crisis.
The Taliban banned girls' education. They've kept some women home from work. In some cases, they've barred women from accessing health care without a guardian. Did you have a chance to speak to the Taliban while you were there about whether they are willing or able to cope with this deteriorating maternal health?
When I visited the provincial hospital in Wardak, one of the provinces, it's not too far from the capital, one of the worst hit during the war, where there was constant fighting. We did speak to the Taliban health representative, and he denied that maternal health was deteriorating, there was a problem. He talked about plans to open more clinics to increase access for women without explaining where the funding would come from. I think one thing that is important to mention is that the departure of the West has had varying impacts on women's access to healthcare. In a place like Wardak, where fighting was heavy throughout the war, where there were huge losses, where the roads were incredibly dangerous, access has actually improved for many women because now they can travel the roads without being worried about getting caught in an ambush or hitting a roadside bomb. So hospitals like the one we visited are seeing an increase generally in patients because more women can get there. So it's a very mixed picture. We also tried to reach out to the Taliban in Kabul for comment about the picture we're seeing with maternal health. And despite repeated efforts, they did not get back to us on our questions.
Do you see the maternal health picture as being a reflection of the plight of women in today's Afghanistan? Or is it more a reflection of a country that has been thrown into chaos by U.S. policy?
I think generally the situation for maternal health reflects the broader picture of suffering across the whole population, the widespread loss of jobs, the difficulty accessing food, the sanctions and the banking system. But maternal and neonatal care has been a really important marker for the progress of the Western war in Afghanistan, where during the Taliban rule in the 1990s, Afghanistan was a place where it was incredibly dangerous for women to give birth. And those metrics improved during the time that the US and its allies were there and invested in the health system. And now what many of the doctors that are there fear is going back in time and losing all of the gains that were made over the past 20 years. What we do know from the UN is that there is a risk that the neonatal mortality rate in Afghanistan could climb up to 10% of births, which is more than 20 times the number that you see in the US.
What role did you see the US and other Western allies playing?
At the moment, there aren't any Western government presence in these hospitals. The hospitals have been propped up by aid organizations like Doctors Without Borders or the International Committee for the Red Cross, the Italian NGO Emergency. They've stepped in and they are running these hospitals. And without their presence in these wards, doctors would not be paid. There would not be any medication and the health system would collapse altogether. What the US and other foreign donors have done is donated into a fund that's administered by the World Bank, and this helps cover some of the costs, but it's still a fraction of the support that Afghanistan was receiving during the war.
So when you look at the staff of these hospitals that you spoke to, are they planning to stay and endure these conditions, or are they, like many Afghans, trying to leave?
There are some who want to continue to serve as best they can. And for months, many of these doctors and all sorts of people from cleaners to nurses came to the hospitals, even though they weren't receiving a salary, to continue to do their jobs. So there is a huge commitment by these people. But at the same time, from their own personal perspective, when they're asking themselves, what future will their daughters have or who will replace them if women are unable to study and become doctors and nurses, the whole system would soon collapse. So I think many of them are trying to leave.
That was Jessica Donati, who covers foreign affairs and national security for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, non-fungible tokens, or NFTs, were all the rage with art investors last year. Sales of NFTs at the world's largest auction house, Christie's, hit $93 million in the first half of last year. But the crypto market has been plummeting, and NFT sales at Christie's fell to just $5 million in the first half of this year. So is now really a good time to start investing at the intersection of art and tech? Christie says, yes. We report exclusively that it's launched a venture capital arm to invest in tech startups. Our art market reporter, Kelly Crow, says Christie's is looking for tech solutions to some long-standing problems in art sales, digital or otherwise.
The art world has long struggled to keep track of art as it moves throughout the planet. It struggled to make sure that it's authentic. It struggled to make sure that the person selling it truly owns it, that the buyer is not using shady money. I mean, there's lots of transparency issues, and I think the auction house is hoping that some technology that's getting developed now could address those issues, and Christie's wants a chance at that technology first.
You can hear more from Kelly on tomorrow morning's episode of our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.